Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. There is only 1 week left until the municipal election on October 24th. Most municipalities have started voting already, but more about that later. This week, I'll be interviewing the last candidate for mayor. Please remember, I'm only interviewing the mayoral candidates running for office across Northumberland County. I will not be interviewing the deputy mayor or council candidates. As I've said before, there's just too many of them. However, you can go to the radio station's website or the website for this show to find candidate information. Today, I'm interviewing Jeff Lees, who is running for mayor of Port Hope. Here is Jeff Lees.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Jeff Lees, candidate for mayor of Port Hope. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's my pleasure.
There may be some people who don't know you, so let's begin with you introducing yourself as a candidate for mayor.
Well, for people that don't know me, my roots started out in the rural area. We had a family farm. My grandfather sold the farm. We moved into town. From there, I went to Central Public School, Dr. Hawkins, and Port Hope High School. That's where I met my wife at the time. I've been married 35 years. I raised a son in Port Hope. We've lived in Port Hope for the most of our lives. My son is now 30. I've been on council for 25 years. I've worked with seven different councils, five different CAOs, and four different mayors. So I've picked up a lot of good things in the community, and I picked up a lot of bad things that I wouldn't use as I was mayor. But as most people know, I'm very active. I was in the Kinsman Club also for over 30 years. I was a big brother. I've received lots of civic awards. I've received Kinsman of the Year several times. I received Big Brother of the Year once. I received a Paul Harris Award for community service from the Rotary Club. I belong to a lot of organizations, and I believe being active in the community is a staple for any mayor. And if I'm elected as mayor, I will encourage my council to be out there and be active as I am.
You talk about affordable housing, and you've said on the record that you want to talk to developers to build smaller houses and to change zoning to meet the requirements. How do you hope to achieve this?
Well, as you know, it's a very difficult situation. Housing, affordable housing is a nationwide concern. You hear it everywhere. It's not just a Port Hope or Cobourg problem. It's everywhere. And I think the federal government, first of all, has to buy into a program and give the municipalities better tools to deal with it. You know, as a municipality, we really don't have the money to afford these things. But the only way you could possibly do it is talk to developers and see, like I've said before, if they would be willing to do affordable housing, and not just, you know, blocks of affordable housing. Have some sections mixed in with, you know, single family development, semis. Have it a mixture and have some more affordable housing mixed in there. But we've got to get the federal and provincial government, I think, on board with some incentives, offering it to the municipalities. Because like I said, this is a nationwide problem. It's not a Port Hope and Cobourg. And before you get those anything done, I think in a proper way, I think you have to get them. And I do realize the province gives the county money for affordable housing and stuff like that. But quite honestly, I believe Port Hope doesn't get its fair share of affordable housing. A lot of money seems to be always spent at county council in Cobourg. And nothing, I'm not taking a shot at Cobourg, but you know, it would be nice if more was spent in Port Hope, our share, and along with the other municipalities. We all pay into the program, and so does the province. So it'd be nice to get our share, and maybe with a mayor with a little bit more forceful voice at the county, maybe we could get some better affordable housing in Port Hope.
I'd like to go back over something you said a little bit earlier, and that is about talking with developers. Now, don't developers build to meet demand? And if there's not a demand or they can't sell what they build, how do you hope to get them to change their plans if all they're trying to do is meet the demands of the marketplace?
Well, you know what? I think there is definitely a demand out there because things are changing. Like, I mean, you got to really look back at things and look at ourselves. You know, these $600,000 and $700,000 homes that are being built, you know, they've got 3-4 bedrooms. They've got 2-3 baths. And a lot of the instances, people are coming here to retire. There's only 1 or 2 people living in them. So, I mean, you know, the problem is there. That's a demand thing. They want these big luxury homes. But really, do 2 people need 3-4-5 bedroom homes with 2-3 bathrooms? You know, you got to start looking within a little bit. It's a little bit our fault, too, because the demand is for these big houses. But now, you know, the young people, they can't afford a great big house like that. I don't know how young people can even afford to look at a big house. We had a small development down, I think it was Al LeBlanc, built pod housing just behind Extendicare and our old hospital. And they started at $399, and they were on a level, so retired people or young people, and they were 1 and 2 bedrooms, and they sold like hotcakes at $399. They were barely in the ground, and most of them were sold. So I think that you know, that shows you there is a demand out there for that style and affordability, and they sold great. And I'm sure, you know, Mr. LeBlanc and his company, they made money at it. And you know what? Honestly, that development, we've heard very few complaints about as compared to other big developments. It was a great idea, and I think that's a prime example of a smaller development with smaller houses starting at a smaller range. And I think that's exactly what the kind of style we have to build on. Look at building, you know, lots smaller, you know, not garages, just have parking spots, small verandas on them, things like that. You know, and maybe look at our lot sizes. Look at making the lot sizes smaller to fit some of these, you know, tiny homes. And, you know, we have a young man on Hamilton Road in Port Hope. He's building tiny homes. So it sure would be nice if we could accommodate a few of those in Port Hope by changing some of the bylaw and zonings. We're heading that way, but I think we need to get there quicker because the demand is so big.
Another area that you've spoken to in public is the need for healthcare in the community. And one of the things you talk about is the need for a walk-in clinic in Port Hope. What can you as a mayor do to create a walk-in clinic?
Well, I did previously sit on the doctor recruitment committee in Coburg at the Coburg Hospital. I sat on that committee. And for the last few years, honestly, we've been very successful in bringing in doctors. But the problem with doctors are the older doctors carry such a high of amount of people. Like a lot of the rosters are anywhere from 2,500 to 4,000. Well, the new doctors that are coming in, they won't take that many residents or patients. So sometimes you could end up, instead of hiring one doctor to replace one doctor, you might need 2 or 3 doctors with the new rates because they don't take that many patients anymore. And the older doctors, like I said, they would have 3,000 to 4,000 patients, some of them. The new doctors don't handle that many anymore. So that's why we need more doctors, because a lot of the newer doctors aren't handling that many. Some of them are, but a lot of them aren't. It's a new standard. But in Port Hope, we used to have a walk-in clinic, and it was at the old Legion up on Toronto Road before COVID started. And then COVID came, and it's run by the Healthcare Foundation. And I think as a mayor, I would give incentives to work with the Healthcare Foundation, work with doctors to try to work together to try to get that walk-in clinic back up and running. It was very important to our community. We needed it. It was used a lot, and I think it would still be used a lot. And again, that might take the pressure off the emergency department in Coburg for people coming in with things that, you know, a doctor could look at instead of, you know, filling up the emergency department with a lot of these minor things. But, you know, they're all serious to people, and I get that. And if a doctor could look at them at the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic instead of them going to the emergency, I think that would help as well.
The Wesleyville land deal was an opportunity to expand the town and development opportunities. What was your reaction to the deal when it was released last spring, and are you interested in pursuing it as a possible deal to acquire these lands from the provincial government if you're mayor?
Yeah, I would still be interested in looking at a new proposal. The time that we were brought the offer, and we spent over 2 years dealing with that scenario of Wesleyville. The council voted unanimously to support buying Wesleyville because it was, in our opinion, it was such a great deal. And the other part of that Wesleyville deal was it was under control of the municipality. If a huge developer was to say to come in there and buy it now, we would have very little control. You know, we could do, you know, zoning changes and other stuff like that. But if we owned it, we could have more say in how it was done. And I was very disappointed that the wool was really pulled, or a rug was pulled out from behind us real quick, just at the last minute. We dealt with the provincial or OPG's and Wesleyville, I'm not sure who, it was a realty board that we dealt with. And all the things they asked us to do, we did it at their request, which cost us money. And to me, that's a problem. We probably spent, I'm just estimating, over $500,000 in things that they wanted done. And we did it at their request. And then when we were all ready to sign the deal, it fell through. And I'm very disappointed. But I would like to work with the province and go back at it and see if we can get that deal for the municipality. Because in my opinion, if the municipality had it, we can protect the woodlands, we can protect the farmland that's in there, and also expand the 700 acres of industrial property. And also, people have to forget, or they do forget, that there's already 7 or 8 businesses already in there operating, and they pay a lease agreement every year. So there is money coming in for upkeep and stuff like that. So that also helps when you take a mortgage of that size out. Because I know in the past, I was on council when we bought the Smith property, and we were ridiculed and we were, you know, badgered about spending that kind of money back then. But now that it's up and running and we've got about 6 successful businesses in there running, and we're getting good tax dollars back, and that project will pay back itself in a very few years. So I think it's the same scenario with Wesleyville. It's a big amount of money. It's $18.6 million. For that approximately 1,400 acres. Plus, it's also 5 kilometers of lakefront property. And I'm sure people know what lakefront properties were. So, in my opinion, it was a great deal. We were looking forward to it. And it was pulled out at the last minute. And I was very disappointed. But I'd like to work with the province to go forward with it if we can. And also, maybe if we can't work a deal out to purchase the property, at least get some money back from what we spent at their request.
Where do you stand on the Garden Hill development?
I have many concerns with the Garden Hill development. The first proposal, again, it was the first proposal from the developer. I think the developer really needs to go back to the drawing board on Garden Hill. My first concern is normally on developments, I used to be the chairman of the GRCA as well. A lot of developments you would see maybe 5 or 6 concerns from the GRCA in regards to wetlands and rivers and water flows and all that kind of stuff. This current proposal has 26 concerns put against it in regards to water. And you know what? That's a lot for the GRCA to be concerned about with one development. I think the developer, this first round, he's trying to shrink the frontages. The first questions I asked at the public meeting was, our recommended frontages for your individual lots was 30 meters. You're putting it down to 18.6. that to me is you're making smaller lots with same big buildings in it. And I said, if, and I'm not a mathematician, but really you're trying to squeeze in 10 extra lots. If they were acre plus the 30 foot frontages, they would be good size. And they would be almost like the same as you have there. But a lot of our residents out that way are concerned over water, because even with the developments that have been out there, the water levels in that area have dropped significantly. And as far as the 21 unit apartment building, I'm strictly against that. I don't think a 21 unit apartment building right next to County Road 9 is appropriate. I don't know any other municipality in Northumberland that has that size of a unit in the rural area, other than there's a sixplex in Hamilton Township across from Ashbrook. But a 21 unit, and again, they're shrinking the size of a lot recommended by us to put that big thing in. And again, it's water. You have to get water and septic out there. And again, it's all about me, it's about the water concern, and a lot of the residents, that's what their concern is, water and big houses on smaller lots. I think the developer has to go back to the drawing board, like I said, and come back with something new.
I'd like to talk about homelessness now. There are people sleeping in tents in parks and other public spaces. What have you done to address the immediate needs of these people, and not just talking about the mid and long-term issues of shelter?
Well, myself, I politically, I've tried, and I know our police service has worked with. We have about maybe two or three that I know of that our police service has tried to work with, tried to get them sheltered, tried to get them places to live. And in a lot of the instances, these people have mental issues. They don't want to follow rules. They don't... they want to live the way they want to live, and you can't force them to stay in these shelters and stuff. It's not right to do that. But I think there is things that we can do. The first thing I would think of doing is we're building a new senior center up at the Town Park Rec Center. So the old Ruth Clark is there. I would like to give that Ruth Clark to the food bank. And that the old Ruth Clark building also has a full kitchen. And they could maybe, the food bank, in my opinion, could maybe run it. They could also supply us a soup kitchen, a warming station, and maybe a place for people to go when they're homeless, so they'd have somewhere to go. I know the food bank right now pays large amounts to rent the space they're in now. So I think instead of selling the old Ruth Clark, give it to the food bank, let them run a soup kitchen out of there, a warming station, and a place for people to go if they're homeless. I think that would be a great opportunity that we would miss if we sold that building.
Planning committee meetings are jam-packed with people who are looking to develop individual lots in rural areas. And with the county wanting to concentrate development in focus places like hamlets and villages and towns, are you concerned at all that this kind of piecemeal development will be impacted?
Yeah, a little bit. I know the province... they want us to start to infill. They've always said infilling is the best thing, and I somewhat agree with that. I'm not positive I agree with the whole scenario. Like, we do have little pockets of acreage and lots in Port Hope that aren't developed, that could be developed. A new lot, we've had several over the years that have been vacant for years, and suddenly somebody wants to develop it, but the neighbors, because of it, you know, they've been so used to it being vacant for so long, they're not happy with that. But once, you know what, once the development, a lot of them move in, I've got a lot of them over by where I live in my house, and they're beautiful little homes, and people seem to settle in once they're done. But I like I said, I'm kind of on the fence about the province's state, you know, and what they want us to do. But, I think they're going to expand our borders in Port Hope after a while anyways. But I think that's something we're going to have to look at for sure.
What more can council do to help local business?
Well, first of all, I think council needs to go and talk to local business more. we kind of sit back and expect them to come to us. But we used to have a program years ago when I was first on council. Our mayor used to do a visit to local businesses. Probably every couple of weeks, he would go with the chamber representative, the manager, and he would go and visit different businesses, large, small, medium, all that, to get their input on things. And I think that's important. You have to go to the people. You can't wait for them to come to you with a problem. You should go out and be proactive. And I honestly believe if a business sees a mayor and the chamber representative coming to visit, that shows them at least you care about their business and get their input on things that we could work together to do together to make business better. And also, I think our working relationship with the chamber and with the HBI needs work. And I think as mayor, I would make our working relationship with the chamber and the HBI closer. And what we, you know, as much as we can help them with the business that they represent, I would certainly support that more. And I would go out and I would like to visit businesses and do that as a week or every couple of weeks, I think, or a weekly thing. Go out and show businesses at least your concern and take their input and visit with them on their turf. I think that's very important.
Well, you mentioned that you felt that the relationship between council and HBIA needs work. What are you referring to there? Where has it failed and how would you improve it?
Well, I think, first of all, not that it's failed. I think COVID sure put a spin into everybody this last term. I think it widened the gap between communications between the chamber, HBIA, and the municipality. As you know, the chamber and HBIA are separate. They're not boards or commissions of the municipality, and I would like to see more like a task force put together with all three that we can work on projects together instead of, you know, a lot of times you see them fighting over turf. Well, this is ours, that's yours. I really like to see the group get together, all three of us, and work together on projects for everybody, not just, you know, HBIA, not just the chamber, not just municipality. I think, honestly, if you get more minds and more hands together, I think you can fix a lot of these problems and come up with some new ideas that would improve our downtown and our businesses. I think that would be great.
There has been a steady increase in property taxes during your times on council. What can you say to people who are listening who might be concerned about their property taxes going up?
Well, I can honestly tell you that property taxes are always the number one thing at every election. That's the number one thing all the time for every election that I've ever been. And I understand that. My big thing is I don't mind small increments, but big increases I don't agree with, because you got to realize that the municipality portion is the smallest portion at the bottom. We're the municipality, education, and then the province or the county on top of that. So, I mean, when you add all three of them together, that's quite an increase. So the best thing you can do as a municipality is keep your spending down and try to make more revenue in places that you can. And I find, you know, in a lot of large corporations, they don't go to the frontline workers and say to them, you know what, do you have any ideas where we can save some money on things? I'm sure if we went to our staff and said to them, you know, we want to keep our increase down this year, but bring our revenues up. Do you frontline workers or staff have any ideas how we can do that? I don't think that's done enough in day-to-day politics. I think they forget about the little guy at the front that's dealing with these things every day and may have some good ideas of how to save some money and not cut service somehow. And I think that has to be done more often. Give an incentive to the employees that work for us. And we do have great staff. Our staff are phenomenal people. They do a great job as far as I'm concerned in Port Hope. And we have to continue that, look to them and ask them where we can save money and where possibly we can bring revenues up. And I think that will help keep taxes down. You know what? There's always going to be, if anybody tells you they're going to lower your taxes
or freeze your taxes, I don't think that's wise. Because you look around, the last 5 years, nothing's gone down in price. And municipality is like a big house. Nothing's gone down in price with the municipality either. Products have gone up, labor's gone up, insurance has gone up. A lot of those things we can't control. They're going to go up. So, you know, without losing service, taxes are always going to go up. And that, like I said, if anybody tells you they're not or they're going to lower them, they're forgetting they're only one voice and they're only one vote when it comes to increases. But as a mayor, I would try to keep the increases at a very minimum. I'm not saying zero, but I'd like to see small increases.
But how do you do that when inflation's running at 7 or 8%? How do you achieve that without cutting service or increasing fees to meet your goal?
Well, it's funny you ask that because I honestly think there's a few departments in the municipality of Port Hope that aren't working quite as efficient as they could be. And it's funny because those departments are the ones where you make money.
Well, let's be specific. What are you talking about here?
Well, it's come up several times in all the debates that one department in particular, our planning department. And again, I want to stipulate, it's not our employees, it's not the staff, it's the way it's organized. Planning and development and building, they're all hooked together. Once you go to the planning department, then it goes to building. When you submit plans and you do all that, that's where money can be made. If it was reorganized and ran better, I think, and it's, again, not the employees' fault, if we're short people, we should be hiring more people to get plans through. We need to advertise that we're open for business more. So if you get those departments working more efficiently, bring in more money, get the customer handled, which the customer is our resident, get it handled better, get it done more efficiently, and get it done faster, you're going to make a bigger revenue, and that's going to help with taxes.
You say you've been on 7 different councils and you've spent 25 years in public life as a politician. Why have you not implemented any of the ideas we've talked about today or your proposals prior to this?
A lot of the proposals and the things that we've talked about are just recently. I've brought lots of things forward during the many years. I brought the Town Park Rec Center, that was my idea to bring that forward. The Jack Burger expansion, that was another idea when I was the director or chairman of Parks and Rec. That was one of my ideas to bring forward. The splash pad just recently, that was my idea to bring forward. The latest one during the last budget was switching to 2 programs for road repairs because Rose Glen Road was a priority, in my opinion, over Victoria Street North. And I asked, that was one of my priorities. So every council that I've sat on, I can't go back and think of everyone. Every year that I've sat on a term, I've brought a project forward and they've been implemented. And I think if any politician can bring one major project every year by themselves, you're only one person, one vote. If you can bring something forward every term and have that project done, I think that's pretty successful. I think we've Port Hope, they say Port Hope's stagnant. But if you look back, there's been a lot of things that have gone on in the last 25 years. Every building that we've built, every term, there's been a major build and a building built or new road construction or a new water tower, new water sewer treatment. Every term that I've been on, I've brought things forward and they're, these things that I'm talking about now, I would try to bring forward as mayor for the future because these are future things. I can't go back and change the past. I've learned a lot. I've learned how to get things through. And the other part of it is, too, you have to have the support of the rest of your council. I can bring lots of things forward, but if they haven't been supported by the rest of the council, it's not going to get done. Even these new things, if I brought them forward, if the rest of the council didn't support them, they wouldn't get done.
Jeff, when you're not doing politics or being mayor, what do you do to relax? I mean, what do you do for fun? Do you have any hobbies or guilty pleasures?
Yes. like I said, I was in the Kinsman Club for many years, over 30 years, until we disbanded the club because we had no more volunteers. I've always volunteered out in the community. I like being out with the people. I think that's very important. I think you get a perspective of many different things if you're out in the community all the time. I've been very active like the last 30 years of my life. I've always been active, and you get, like I said, perspectives from many, many different groups. I travel in lots of different circles. I've sat at millionaires' tables with millionaires, and I've sat under a bridge with a homeless person and talked to them all. And I've learned a lot, and I will continue to learn a lot, even as mayor, because you know what? I'm one of these guys that I'm not perfect, and I'm always willing to learn. And no one else, in my opinion, is perfect. So you have to accept that. You're going to win some votes. You're going to lose some votes. But you know what? You accept what happens. That's democracy. And you move on from there.
Why will you be a good mayor?
I think I will be a good mayor because I'm experienced. I'm obviously dedicated to this job. And people can tell you it's not a full-time job, but being on council in Port Hope has, to me, has always been a full-time job. I will treat the mayor's position as a full-time job. I will have full-time hours down at town hall. I'll be there at 8:30 in the morning to at least 4:30 every day or later, depending on the job. I think you need a full-time dedicated mayor that lives in Port Hope full-time and is available to the people full-time. And I will always encourage my council to be out at every event and every organization that's doing fundraisers, any meetings, any of that stuff. I will encourage myself and my council to be out there all the time. I believe in teamwork, and I believe as the mayor of Port Hope, I will make teamwork happen with the whole of council.
Jeff Lees, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Absolutely, Robert. It was my pleasure.
That was Jeff Lees, who's running for mayor of Port Hope. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.